was still fresh. People who had seen Jesus' miracles were still walking around and telling the stories of what Jesus had done. And yet, they were discouraged. That going back to their old, comfortable ways where they were accepted is useless.
I'm Russ Cox, one of the pastors of New Hope Community Church. I want to thank you for downloading this message. I also invite you to download the accompanying message outline so that you can follow along and take notes. You can download the message at newhopeeastlake.org or download our New Hope app on your mobile device. On the app or the website, you'll find previous messages. We hope this message provides you with inspiration for developing a relationship with God.
So if you have not considered to be part of a small group, we want you to start thinking about it, start praying about it. You're going to hear a lot of reasons why today, why we think it's good for you to be in a small group. We got a lot of great small groups, and we need you. We've got sign-ups at the Welcome Center, so just be praying about over the next few weeks, start at the end of the month. And then also, we've got our new message series is going to start in 2 weeks, not next week, but the week after, and it's entitled Life's Most Important Relationships. Pastor Russ is going to lead us on that. You don't want to miss it. We just came through a message series that was just incredible, dynamic, and so you don't want to miss this next one as well. And now I got to tell you, you picked a great Sunday to come to church. Thank you for being here today. We've got a special guest speaker. Russ and Janie are out of town. They're back in Mississippi and Alabama enjoying. We checked the weather. You talk about humidity. They're getting all of it back there. It's like 85 degrees and, it's like 90-something degrees and 85% humidity back there. So y'all be praying for them, all right? They're going to need all the prayers that they can get. But today to bring the message is somebody who I know for a fact loves God, and she loves this church. Probably right up there with Russ, Janie, and Pastor Mel, but she loves this church. Would you please make welcome to give our message today, Drew Tyree.
Good morning, and thank you for the warm welcome. So I'm using this mic. I got to tell you guys before we get started here, I broke Pastor Russ's mic. Eek, not good while he's on vacation. He doesn't know yet. So we kind of got in a fight with the mic and my hair, and somehow on Thursday it went out, and I text Russ, and I said, I wrestled. He said, good luck. I mean, I'm praying for you. You're getting up there this week. Thank you for doing this while I'm on vacation. And I said, thank you for the opportunity, and I wrestled with your head thing. How do you get that on? And I remembered, he's bald. So he doesn't have to wrestle with that. He'll hear that later. But so I wrestled and somehow I broke it. So we're going to be praying that that gets fixed before he comes back. Would you guys please take out your message outlines this morning? And then we're going to pray. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you that we have a place that we can come and gather together in your name and worship you. Father God, I pray that right now that this space, that I would be filled with your spirit, that only your words would come through me. Father God, I pray for every heart that's sitting out there right now, that you would open their hearts and their minds to you, God. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So it had been 2 years since the pastor had asked John and his wife to lead, and they had started a group, and they were meeting in a small room, trying to encourage the body of believers that were there. For 3 weeks now, John sat in a room, and no one showed up. This week, his wife had stayed home. She had to deal with some things back home, some issues with the kids. She'd opted to stay home. No one was showing up.
So if
John sat in a room, and as he waited, he looked up at the clock and he sighed, and there was 5 minutes passed, and he scrolled through his social media, flipping back from Facebook to Instagram to the news, trying to distract his mind, kill time. And as he sat there, he was trying to remember why he was still doing this. His family needed him. Work was hard. The pressures at work were getting more. The bills were piling up. He could do something else with his time. His wife was frustrated. His kids always wanted more time. And he sat in this room for the third week in a row with no one showing up. He looked back at his last post, and it said, group tonight, 6:30. Hope to see you there. I'll bring pizza. And as he looked through the comments, there were hope to see you there, thumbs up on Facebook, a heart. People were responding, but nobody was showing up. And he sat there discouraged, and he looked up at the clock, and 10, 15 minutes had passed by. And he thought he heard footsteps, and as he looked up, it was just a woman walking by with a child, and they gave a little smile and kept walking. And he decided to get up and walk out, discouraged, frustrated, and feeling isolated. And the next day, he woke up and he wrote a letter to the pastor. And it read, "Dear Pastor, for the third week in a row, no one showed up. Every time I reach out to this group of people, they said they wanted to meet, and they say they'll be there next week, and nobody shows, and they're just busy. They seem to be doing fine. They're dealing with their kids. They say work has popped up. They're moving. Life is just happening, Pastor. I don't want to quit on you, but I think we should just cancel this meeting. Cancel this group." This same letter, very similar, was written over 2,000 years ago. 60 years after the death of Jesus, a very lonely, discouraged leader in Italy wrote back to the writer of Hebrews, letting him know they're not coming anymore. They're not coming to meet anymore. The fire that was there, the encouragement that was there, is gone. I don't know what to do. And so right now, I want you guys to open up your Bibles, your smartphones, if you have them with you, to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. If you don't have them with you, it's fine. It's actually at the top of your message outline. We came prepared today. And it will also be on the screen. So please turn with me to Hebrews again, chapter 10, verse 19 through 25. And the title of the section is "An Appeal and a Warning to Remain Faithful." Verse 19 starts, "Brothers and sisters, we are not afraid to enter the most holy room. We enter boldly because of the blood of Jesus. His way is new because he lives. It has been opened for us through the curtain. I'm talking about his body. We also have a great priest over the house of God. So let us come near to God with a sincere heart. Let us come near boldly because of our faith. Our hearts have been sprinkled. Our minds have been cleansed from the sense of guilt. Our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold firmly to the hope we claim to have. The God who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we can stir up one another in love. Let us help one another to do good works. And let us not give up meeting together. Some are in the habit of doing this. Instead, let us encourage one another with words of hope. Let us do this even more as you see Christ's return approaching." You see, at this time, the people had begun to meet in homes and where they could. In the earlier part of chapter 10, if you guys go back and read that, the writer is letting you know and reminding them that going back to their old ways is useless. It's useless. So we have a group of people who were meeting. They were excited. They were on fire for God. And they were meeting not just once a week, but frequently in each other's homes to talk about what God was doing, to talk about what Jesus had done. They were meeting frequently, fellowshipping, encouraging one another in love. But they had become discouraged. They'd become isolated, and they were being persecuted. And so they stopped wanting to meet together. They stopped showing up. And what they began to do was go back to their old ways. These were churched people. How many of you in here have grown up in church your whole life? A lot of you tell me, "I know the word of God, Drew. I hear Russ. I get encouraged on Sunday. I know the Word of God. I read it. I do my devotions daily. I know it. So did they. They were converted Jews into Christianity. Remember, Christianity was a bad word back then. They were converted. They knew the Bible. They had studied day in and day out. They had went to temple. They had memorized the entire Old Testament. They knew the Word of God. They knew God. And then they got to experience, they were still living and meeting just 60 years after the death of Jesus. It was still fresh. People who had seen Jesus' miracles were still walking around and telling the stories of what Jesus had done. And yet, they were discouraged. And they didn't want to meet anymore. They wanted to go back to the temple and give the old sacrifices they had given before. And this letter comes through. Originally, it was a sermon. At that time, a lot of the disciples were writing sermons and sending out letters to different parts of the world. And then that group would get it and they'd read it together in a house and they would be encouraged. And a pastor wrote back and said, sorry, they don't show up anymore. They're going back to the temple. And Hebrews 10 shows us that going back to their old, comfortable ways where they were accepted is useless. It's useless. And so if you look at your sermon outline there, our first fill in the blanks are going to appear up here on the screen. We get some very clear direction in 19 through 25. How many of you guys know that when God repeats something in the Word of God, it's not on accident? Several times in this verses here through 19 through 25, we see God telling us, giving us warnings and appealing to us, and several times he uses the term, let us. Okay, so we're going to go through some of those this morning. The first one is, let us come near to God. You'll find that in verse 22. Let us come near to God. See, in verse 19 through 20, God describes what Jesus had done for them. We can come boldly to God. The sacrifices, the animal sacrifices, no longer counted. Jesus had done it all. And in verse 22, we see that we can come, let us come near to God. And verse 23, let us hold firmly to our hope in God and come boldly, we see in the verses before. In the next fill in the blank, you'll see, let us consider one another, stirring up love and good works. That's hard to do when you're not showing up. It's real hard to do. Nowadays, we have great social media, and we can send a great verse to someone, text some encouraging words to someone. But in Hebrews, we're encouraged to stir one another up in love. And then we also see, let us not give up meeting together. Most of you in here are in a small group. Most of you in here come here several times a week encouraging one another. And several of you here are in different ministries here at New Hope. And we are so thankful for that. And Hebrews encourages us to not give up meeting together. It also tells us to let us encourage one another in hope. The hope that we have is in Jesus. Do you know at that time when they were meeting, they didn't have the New Testament. It wasn't written. It wasn't put together yet. They were meeting and encouraging each other with stories of Jesus, with telling each other what Jesus was doing in their life. That's how they were meeting. That's how they were encouraging each other in Christ and in hope. And then the last one is, let us do this more as Christ's return approaches. So they're saying, we're going back to the temple. We're still worshiping God. We're giving our sacrifices. It's more comfortable. I'm more accepted in my community that way. It's not as messy and difficult as meeting in a home and being fearful and dealing with people's attitudes and discouragement. It's a lot easier. I'm just going to go to temple, give my sacrifice, read my scripture, and walk out. So much more simple. And yet God in Hebrews encourages us to meet more. Meet together and to encourage one another. And that leads me to our next fill in the blank. Just as those people were facing an epidemic of loneliness, they're being ostracized from their families and from their communities that they had grown up in for years, their whole lives, for generations. They were facing an epidemic of loneliness and isolation. And today we face the same epidemic, not for the same reasons. We aren't facing persecution here in the United States, but the Surgeon General has actually came out with a new warning. And guess what the warning is? That our country is suffering from loneliness. Loneliness. How? We're the most connected we've ever been. More than any other place in the world, we have so much access to internet, phones, technology, texting, calling, Facebook, Instagram, news at our fingertips to find out what's happening around the world. We are the most connected we've ever been. Yet we're facing an epidemic of loneliness. The Surgeon General has come out with such a warning and has found studies, they've started to do studies in concern with this issue in the United States of America, and they found that the loneliness epidemic is so powerful that it's like smoking 15 cigarettes in one day. 15 cigarettes. Most of you guys in here wouldn't do that. You say, oh, that's not good for me. Not going to do that. I'm going to stay away from the beef. I'm going to eat healthier. I'm going to do the new fad diet. I'm going to go exercise. I'm going to stay healthy, and smoking cigarettes is not in it. 15 cigarettes a day. But that is what happens to your body when you're facing loneliness. The opportunity for your body to get disease and sickness, diabetes, cancer, heart disease, suicide, all go up. They're finding all these things are going up because of this epidemic of loneliness and isolation. So how? And I thought, that can't be possible. I connect with all kind of people every day. Half of you in this crowd are on my Facebook. I see what's happening in your life. You got grandkids, kids coming over. You're going here for 4th of July. I see all your pictures. I see it, and I give you the thumbs up. I gave you the thumbs up on your picture. I liked it. And yet, a lot of us are still feeling lonely and isolated. Maybe it's isolated or lonely in your situation. Maybe you feel like no one in this room will understand what you're facing. They don't understand that difficult child you deal with. They don't understand your husband, your spouse. They don't get it. They don't get what's happening in your home, and you feel isolated in your situation. But we share these amazing things of encouragement on Facebook. And what I started to notice, and this is a personal story of something that happened just a few weeks ago. A beautiful woman here at New Hope who does all kind of ministry here, and I see her passing all the time. Her son died, 39 years old. She posted on Facebook and she said he died. I said, God. And I remember sitting there looking at it, and I was like, I can't believe it. Pastor Melba called me and said, hey, I just want to let you know. Her son passed. Let's pray and prepare. I said, okay. And I'm praying, and I put that sad face on her post. I did. But a month passed before I even gave her a hug. I didn't hug her until she was putting up chairs at her own son's funeral. That's when I hugged her. I didn't reach out to her before then. See, we engage each other over these phones and these social media sites, and then we fail to forget that that's not true engagement. That's not the interaction that our God created us to have. And that's our next fill in the blanks. We were created for relationship. And you guys will start to note there, and you don't need to look them up now, but I've referenced several verses. If you want to dig deeper and find out more information about this, in parentheses, there's other verses that you can refer to. We were made for relationship. We were made for a relationship with an amazing God who created us in his image. He created us. He walked with us in the beginning. He's with us now. He promises he'll never leave us. That is a God of relationship. And then we also are created to be with others. In Genesis, he saw that it wasn't good for Adam to just be there. He created a relationship. A loving relationship. And then he created a body of believers to meet. And in Hebrews, referring back, you guys, look at it. He wants us to encourage each other, stir up love in each other, and keep meeting. It's not interaction just by putting a thumbs up. And I always promise myself when I see a post and I see someone that seems like they're going through something, I'm going to check in with them. And life just passes by quickly. Maybe I send them a quick text, but I never get to meet with them. It goes by really quickly. And as I said before, they didn't have huge worship centers to meet in. They were meeting together in homes, small groups of people, encouraging and stirring up love is what God told them to get back to doing. That was the prescription to the loneliness, was to continue meeting. And here at New Hope, we have small groups. And let me tell you, I have been at New Hope for over 5 years now, and I didn't start a small group till like 3 years ago. I was like, I'm not doing that. I came from a small church. We met. We were small enough to meet all the time. And I was like, Pastor Mel, but I don't know. It seems kind of weird. You know, it was like an AA meeting, and, you know, I don't know. I've been to those two. I don't want to sit around in a circle and kind of be like, hey, hi, yeah, I'm Drew. I believe in God. Do you? Great. No. And so I didn't want to do it. And finally, I took a chance. Somebody came up and said, hey, Drew, would you join me in this small group? And I did. And now I'm a small group junkie. There was a joke that I was going to have to get help because I started joining too many and signing up for too many at one time. Because the encouragement. And you guys know what? It's not encouragement like everybody pats me on the back and says, good job, Drew. They do that too. But it's encouragement in hearing God is still alive. Because I'm watching prayer happen and the word being used. And I'm watching people grow and I'm watching people's lives change and God still move. That's the encouragement. That's the encouragement. And I thought back to New Hope being my first experience with small groups, and I said, that wasn't my first small group. The first small group I led was absolutely messy. The first small group I led was a long time ago, in the early 2000s. I was probably about 26 years old, and it was a group of 9 men. Go figure, one lady leading 9 men, I don't know. And totally taboo, right? Not supposed to happen. And we were meeting in a chapel, and a bunch of guys, they worked for me, and they were praying, and we were talking every day, and they said, hey, we want to do a Bible study. And I said, I'll see what I could do. And so I took my grandmother's money that I'd inherited from her after she died, and I went and bought the best Bible study I knew at the time. What else would 9 men want to do besides Beth Moore, a women's Bible study? This is Beth Moore, you guys. She is a Texas woman with big hair, and she wears fancy clothes, and she talks at you all crazy. And some of the guys, I had to get a picture, because I realized on Thursday, not everybody knows who she is. And so I thought, why not bring videos of her, and we're going to do a Beth Moore study, because 9 men need Beth Moore. The ladies are laughing, because they get it. So I was doing Beth Moore. We did 10 weeks. But this is the secret. Can you show the next picture? That's where I was doing it at. It was a prison. I was a recreation therapist in a prison. It was against what I was supposed to be doing in my job. I'd already been written up by another inmate for saying the word of God in one of my groups. I was teaching anger management, stress management. I was playing basketball on the yard. We were doing art therapy, music therapy, whatever I could with mentally ill inmates. And God had entrusted me with a group of workers. And these workers were my aides. They were all lifers, a majority of them. And our first issue that came up in small group as I led was, who are we going to let into the group? We can't let the rapist into the group. We're all murderers and we got life sentences, but don't let the rapist in. That was the first messy issue we had. I was younger, and then some of the guys are the same age as. And I said, well, I mean, God forgave us all, right? We got to let him in. If he wants to do it, let him in. So 9 of us gathered, and it was in secret. The chaplain at the time was Father Baptista from a Catholic church. He snuck in the curriculum for me. And for 10 weeks, we did a Beth Moore study. It was the best small group I ever had. I did not know what I was doing, but God did. God did. I didn't see a lot of change. Do you guys understand that? I didn't see a lot of change. There was no miraculous miracles in that 10 weeks. In fact, there was a gentleman in there who was very discouraged, and before I ended up stopped working at the prison, we had stopped talking. I was pretty angry with him. I told him he needed to move on to a different job. And this young man at 17 had gotten kicked off of his baseball team. He lived in San Jose. His parents were very well-to-do. His father owned a business. His mother was a flight attendant. He had an older brother, and he was playing baseball, and he didn't make the varsity baseball team. He needed to find who he was at 17, and he started running with a different group of kids. Started smoking weed, started having sex, and he got his girlfriend at the time pregnant. His grades dropped. His family found out, and they were devastated and disappointed in him. But the group of guys he had found were still his buddies, right? They didn't care. That was cool. You knocked up somebody. Come on, let's go smoke some weed. We need to get some money. His parents had obviously attempted to do everything they could to reel him in, discipline, shutting off money, access, everything they could so that they could reel him back in. And to get money with his buddies, he decided to start robbing 7-Elevens. They have a lot of those in San Jose. I went to San Jose State. I don't know what it is about San Jose and 7-Elevens. And he started robbing 7-Elevens. And one night, he went into a 7-Eleven. And he stood there with a gun pointed at the clerk. And he said, give me the money. The clerk was a 30-year-old Vietnamese man with a family. He was just trying to do his job that day, you know? And he didn't want to give up the money, so he walked towards him, and he saw he was a scared kid. And he said, back away, back away, and he walked towards him. And Brian pulled the trigger, and he ran out at 17 years old. He ran out scared, he ran home, he hid the gun, and he sat. Within 24 hours, the police came, and they locked him up. And I remember being in that small group, studying Beth Moore, telling Brian, you're accepted into a new family, and that family is Christ's family. You have been forgiven for everything. Brian had a daughter he was still trying to talk to that he was receiving no letters. His daughter was a lot older. She was about 10 at this time. She wasn't responding to any of the letters. His mom was the only one that came to visit him at this point. He was now almost 30. His mom was ashamed. He talked and we prayed a lot about that. His mom didn't tell anybody in her church what her son had done or where he was. It was embarrassing. She was isolated and alone. He was isolated and alone because he was never gang active. It wasn't even the style, the lifestyle he'd ever been taught or grown up in. He had hopes to get out, but he had a life sentence. And the other day on Facebook, again, obviously I'm on there a lot, right? I'm scrolling through, and I see this amazing picture. Can you guys put up a picture? That's Brian. That's Brian and his parents. He graduated UCSD in June. And that first small group, all those prayers and that stupid Beth Moore study, not because she's stupid, but my God, what did 9 murderers dealing with life in prison have to do with Beth Moore? I don't know. But I tried. They tried. We prayed. And I sent him a comment on Facebook and I said, "Brother, we prayed for this." And he sent back, "I remember." He remembered the prayers in that chapel in a prison, isolated. I remember every small group I've been in, when they showed up and they didn't show up, when we encouraged each other and we didn't encourage each other, when it was messy and it wasn't messy. I remember. In fact, every night before I've come out here, or every morning, there's been a group of small group members who have stood around me and prayed before I stepped out here, because they're encouraged. Not by me, but by a God who is still alive. But by a God that nothing, not isolation, not loneliness, not persecution can stop. This letter was 2,000 years ago in Hebrews, and it still matters today. It matters. So looking back at your message outline, there's a couple things I do know about small groups. And these are your last few fill in the blanks. I'm not gonna lie to you, sitting in a portable out there, sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's cold, sometimes the air works, sometimes it doesn't. It's not the prettiest room. I'm gonna work on getting you guys some couches out there. But to tell you the truth, small groups are messy because we're human beings and we're messy. To tell you the truth, they're difficult. It's much easier to show up on a Sunday and give your sacrifice as those people in Hebrews wanted to go back to doing. It's so much easier than to sit in a room full of messy, difficult situations and people. And it takes sacrifice. It takes running from your evening job to get here to New Hope. It takes trying to order pizza for your kids so that they can eat right before they come. But let me tell you the good thing. Small groups meet God's calling for us to grow spiritually. And that's your next fill in the blanks. In small groups, we are able to sharpen one another. We know Proverbs tells us iron sharpens iron. Yes, large groups and mass worship is important. Hearing and getting encouraged from Pastor Russ is so important. Please don't stop coming. Standing with the worship team and praising this God who is so alive is so important. But so is intentional interaction with each other. That's where we sharpen each other. That's where we can encourage and love each other. That's where we can be encouraged. It's important. At the end of 25, it tells us it's even more important. It's even more important to meet as Christ's return comes. Meet more often, not less. And then we see what our goal is this next year. What I'm praying to God, people at New Hope will understand, that our small groups are meant here to connect you, to the Word of God and to others. That connection is crucial. It's crucial for you to stay encouraged in your walk with God, and then to engage the Word of God and His people. The word engage is important. It's one thing to connect with someone and walk up to them and say, "Hey, how are you doing today? I'm so glad. I'm happy for you. I saw that you got a new job. That's great." Engaging is a constant, active word. It's not just putting the knowledge of something in your head, but it's doing it. We don't want to just do church as they were doing and going and giving sacrifices. We want to be the church. That takes engaging with one another. And lastly, serving. A lot of us here at New Hope, we are big at serving. I mean, we are actually, I would say, one of the best in our community. A lot of churches look at how we serve and they love it. We draw a lot of service people here. That's one of their gifts. Serving is important. Serving each other is just as important as serving out in the community. And that happens and starts in a small group. So the last few fill in blanks, and we're going to get out of here, you guys, is let us be intentional. We have an intentional God. If you do not know that yet, go back and start reading through the Bible. He's a very intentional God. He's a very specific God. We need to be intentional. We need to be intentional about our relationship with God and others. And we need to be intentional about participating and joining with a small group here at New Hope. We have over 20 small groups here at New Hope, and they're starting at the end of the month. And I know you're like, "Okay, Drew, small group, small group, small group." Got it. I have about 4 new leaders who are starting new small groups. And they're probably going to be sitting in rooms alone. And I actually warn them. I say, "Look, we're going to try this. If no one shows up, it's okay. It's okay." But they're putting their hearts on the lines because they know the importance of staying engaged with the body of believers. They know the importance of stirring each other up in love and encouraging one another. So this morning, I want you to take out of your bulletins, there's a folded large piece of paper. It tells you when small groups start, but in the middle there, if you open it up, are a bunch of beautiful faces. These are small group leaders here at New Hope. Not all of them, because if their groups are full and they've been meeting for a while, we left them out. These are small groups who are open. These beautiful faces are putting their heart out there. Not just for you, but for God. Not just for you, but maybe they need encouragement. Maybe they want to get connected here. Maybe they want to meet a body of believers. And so this morning, I want to ask you, as you pull out your connection cards, and that's that little flap on the side. You guys have a picture of the connection cards? I think they could pop up to it. Right there. There's some next steps there. I want you guys to read through those next steps. And if we could call our first impressions team, there's some baskets in the front. Start to look and fill out your connection card. If you want to, tell Russ what didn't work this weekend. But I want you to also look at what you can do to start to be more engaged here at New Hope. There's plenty of options. There's a barbecue coming up. If you're like, "I don't know, because those small group leaders look weird on those pictures. So cool off all of them. I met some of them. They're kind of weird." You can come to our small group barbecue. It's free food and fun with families. And meet some amazing people here at New Hope. You can also take the opportunity, and if you don't have your connection card filled out, it's okay. There's boxes in the back. And join a small group. At the welcome booth outside, there's actually going to be signups for small groups. If you don't know what small group, it's fine. Just write that you're interested in knowing more information. And I'll give you a call. If you don't want to call, I'll email you, because some people are not like, don't call me. So I'll email you. But let me know if you're interested in that. Before we leave, I want us to do something before we pray. Last week, we had a prayer meeting here at the church. And before I left, I got in my car, and there's a whole bunch of people walking in the streets of my community. I live right here at the East Lake Summit. And there's a whole bunch of people walking in the streets. And they were calling out a little girl's name. And I saw a police officer running by, and he was trying to use a megaphone to get people's attention, calling out a little girl's name. I later found out via my Facebook moms group, that's the cool group to be in, Eastlake Moms, they had written a post and said, we're looking for a little girl. She's 5 years old. If you can come help, help. She's lost. She was riding a bike, and they described her, and they put her name on there, and people showed up. Luckily, they found that little girl. And the next morning when I woke up, the mother had written a post, and it said, thank you. I just moved to Chula Vista. I don't know anybody in the community, and I thought I had lost my little girl forever. But a whole bunch of people showed up, and they started calling her name, and we found her. Thank you for showing up. And I thought, and I sat there, and I thought, what if everybody had just hit the sad face? What if everybody had just commented, I'm praying? And no one had gotten up, walked out of their homes and their comfort, and went to see where this little girl was. I don't think she would have been found. I don't think she would have been found. And so all the more need. We have an amazing God. And when we were lost, like that little girl, he didn't sit back. He didn't sit back and just wait for us to find our way or hope someone else was doing it. He sacrificed his life. And he is looking for us. He wants to engage us. And he wants a relationship with us. And if we have a relationship with him, we need to get up and go find others who need to be intentionally engaged with, who need to have that conversation, who need to feel true interaction and engagement. I believe that New Hope Church, that this body of believers right here, we don't just do church. Doing church is coming on Sundays and giving the sacrificial drop like they did in the beginning of Hebrews, but they're warned against. I believe we are the church, that we have to be the church. And so I'm going to ask you to do something uncomfortable today. Oh, Russ is not here. Oh, boy. I'm going to ask you to stand up at first, if you can. If you can stand, stand. If you can't, it's fine. Oh, I heard some aches and pains. I'm going to ask you to engage. It's scary. It's messy. It's uncomfortable. But I'm telling you, all the time I walk into this beautiful service and I see, because I am staff here, I get to see your beautiful lives unfold. And I get to cry with you and pray with you. And I sit in the back and I'm like, that man, they're awesome. Can't even believe they're holding up their hands and worshiping God right now. And I know you too have sat here and said, man, I wish that lady is so great over there. I wish I could just go tell her hi. Wish I could engage with her. Maybe you're tired of sitting alone. Do you know how many people come to New Hope that come here alone all the time? I don't want to call them out, but there's a group of military women. They sit in a specific spot, and they've met together. They said, if your husband's gone, we'll hang out, because I don't have anybody. I don't know anybody. I just moved here. This is moving season for the military. There's going to be a lot of families coming in here. Maybe you're one of them and you just moved here and you're trying out the church. Don't be scared. The head pastor will be back. Even if you're not alone, I want to encourage you right now as we pray and get out of here. Go across. Move. Right now. Move. Shake someone's hand and then keep holding their hand. Put your hand on their shoulder. Thank you for doing that already. Put your hand on their shoulder, and then we're going to pray together. Find someone else. If you are too scared to move, go find the person that can't walk. If you are like, oh my God, this is too weird, just stand still, someone will find you. It doesn't matter if you're a group of five. Okay, stand where you are, find someone to hold on to. We were made for relationship. We were made to engage, encourage, stir up love in one another. It's okay. It's weird. But we were actually, the initial creation of who we were was meant to do this right here. So let's pray. Father God, I just thank you. God, I thank you that you're alive and well and moving. That your word is so important and matters and makes sense today. God, I thank you for this body of believers. I pray, God, that we don't come here and just do church, but that we would be the church. I pray that you would move our spirits to engage intentionally with one another. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I hope you found this message meaningful to your life. If you're ever in the San Diego area, I want to personally invite you to visit New Hope Community Church, located in the East Lake community of Chula Vista. I also invite you to follow us online on Twitter or Facebook. For more information about our church, visit our website at newhopeeastlake.org. Thanks again for listening.